I think the soft skills are so important.
They're massively important,
aren't they? And I think soft skills don't sound right, does it? It should be like, these are the core competencies.
These
are the vital skills. These are the core competencies. These are what go into making you a successful, fully booked, excellent barber in your community.
And he was a shocking barber. He couldn't cut hair for shit. But do you know what? He was one of the funniest, loveliest people. And he was packed.
Yeah.
From morning till night, he never had an empty chair. There's so much to take from that.
And it's inspiration and everything, right? Irrelevant of the type of, like you say, business. It could be a florist, it could be a restaurant. What are they doing well and how can I replicate? Or maybe I don't want to replicate that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the bad experiences that make you kind of go, I'd be so upset if that was happening in my building.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi there. Welcome back to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban and we're here at Teddy Edwards in Brighton on a lovely sunny day. Or are we in Hove?
We're in Brighton.
We're in Brighton.
Central
Brighton.
I just
wanted to make sure because people will get upset. So Alex Burke and Alex Burt.
Where did that come from?
Tell me what you think of me. Freudian slip.
Yeah, so I've had it all before.
Alex Burt, obviously of Teddy Edwards, and Dan Burnett of Black Lamora here. Really want to start talking a little bit more about this kind of barbershop experience. And I think that's been something that's grown up. Yeah, we've spoken a bit previously on the pod here about this kind of soft skills and young barbers making sure that the soft skills are implanted in. But I think as a business, as an environment, as a space, the kind of vibe and how you create that ambience, that level of service, that extra. How we go about that. I think that'd be really, really interesting. I am going to keep checking my phone periodically because we've put out some messages, so we will get some interaction and some questions
answered. I thought we were boring you. Yeah. That's why you kept looking at the phone.
No, I'm not. I've purposely said that. So you don't think I'm being dull.
Just texting me. Don't forget to smile, Dan.
But obviously, Teddy's now, are you 10 years old?
Yes. So 2013 first opened up.
Cool.
Yeah. My Hove shop will be 10 years old this year.
Perfect. So, that's had some experiences. Yours is?
Almost 12 years. So it was AONO and then it was Black Lamora Barbers. So it's been almost 12 years.
So, I think that's really interesting to talk about exactly that, the service, where the service level is now and how you make, as we've said many, many times, it's a crowded marketplace. How you find your place and how you find your space and your clients.
Mm.
Is that an easy thing?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it is. I mean, for me personally, I just like to inject my own personality into the shops, So, for example, all the artwork that I have here, they're either artists that we're connected to in one way, shape or form, gigs that I've been to, and so the music that we play in here, it's an extension of our personality, and we cover all musical bases in here, whether it's rock, hip hop, country, we play cheesy pop music, no matter what it is, we'll play everything and anything. And I think that is sort of like us showing the public, who we are and what we're all about. And I think it enables the public then to be able to resonate with the barbershop a little bit more. Especially when I first started barbering, they were drab old places. You'd have Capital Radio on in the background on a shitty little radio and there'd just be a couple of newspapers laying on the bench that would end up, keep getting put on the floor all the time. And they were kind of, it always astounded me for such a creative job. Barbershops were such an uncreative space to be in. They were so sort of boring and drab and, there was no personality in the shop whatsoever. And I always like to think that, you spend more time here than you do at home. Yeah. So why not make it a fun and engaging place to be? And, and it gives, customers something to look at, but also it attracts the right staff as well. So it has so many different usages. I think, if
the shop... Is the build, though? Because you were saying, obviously, this wasn't the barbers before. This was a bit of a... This was exactly that. It was a drab, tedious space before you injected into it.
Yeah.
Was that already in your head? Did you make changes? Have you seen that vision in your head of this is the space I want to be? Like you say, that you're going to be there 8, 10, 12 hours a day some days.
Yeah, I think, you know, it comes from a few different places. Like one, it's, you know, we're never blessed. You know, I don't have an investor. You know, it's not like I've got, you know, like a big pot of cash or whatever. So I always find that a lot of the elements that you see here is like based on budget as well. And I think, you know, if I had like a huge pot to draw on and no budget to really think about, I bet you this place wouldn't look anywhere near as good as it does. But, you know, having a tight budget has almost like forced me to be creative with some of the design options and elements that we have. You know, like a builder would say, you know, look, you know, we can do this, but it's going to cost that. I'm like, right, well, we're fucking not doing that then.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's like the taps. I found three taps that were factory seconds. So, you know, those taps there, they're probably worth about 250 quid each, but I think I paid about 45 quid for them.
It should be creative like that, though, right? Yeah. It should be a reflection of you and your team and your area.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it is, mate. It was so cool in here.
Thank you.
I was lucky to, you know, it was such a good shell and the shop was really well set up and built. Mm. So one of my, I don't know, character flaws is I can be really minimalist at home. So I'm always trying to, you know, we run it together, my wife and I, and I'm always like just taking stuff away and, you know, that's not good, right? I have to find that balance. So similar to Alex, we love art. We've got some really cool art since we've been doing it and from before. But yeah, I think it has to be a reflection of you, right? And whether that's, you know, loads of art on the wall or no art on the wall or tiles or plaster, whatever that is, I think it's important for it to be a reflection of you. But also, whatever the few quid in your pocket is saying, can I afford that? No. Okay, well, let's pivot somewhere else and get something else.
Yeah.
Seconds or, you know, or whatever you can afford.
Yeah.
But don't spend more than you have, because that's... some of these things you look at, you go, crikey, that's a lot of haircuts, right?
Oh, look, you know, the hose shop, for example. When I first opened, if I showed you a photo of what that looked like when we first opened it, it was empty.
Yeah.
It was bare. But, you know, and that's the great thing, you know, when, you know, a space, it is like your home, you know, it evolves over time and it, you know.
You don't just fill a wall at home in a week, do you? You take time and you fill it.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting as well, where we talk about soft skills and actually... The soft skills, like communication, being part of a team, empathy, that we can go on with that list, right? I think it's calling it a soft skill, I sometimes think doesn't make it as important as it is. If you look at the best people you work with, you know, you can teach skill, right? But you can't teach someone to be a great communicator, have good empathy, be a team player. And I think that is, you can teach someone how to use a clipper, right? But you can't teach them how to do those soft things. And I think, you know, you were talking about staffing and teams, like what do we look at? Yeah. Hey, I expect you to be great at cutting here, or at least relevant where you are on your journey. But, you know, you want them to be all those things we're talking about. And I think the soft skills are so important.
They're massively important.
Aren't they? And I think soft skills don't sound right, does it? It should be like, these are the core competencies. These are the vital skills. These are the core competencies.
Core competencies.
These are what go into making you a successful, fully booked, excellent barber in your community. And I think...
I think we've heard that many times, that the idea that, you know, you've got some fairly average barbers who are banging it out of the park because as people they really explore their kind of empathy, the care that they put into their work, that enthusiasm, that customer service will get people queuing up waiting for them.
Oh, do you know?
Whereas someone who's amazing will do incredible head of haircuts, but has no personality, has no, you know.
I used to work with a lad years and years ago, way before I opened up my own place. And he was a shocking barber. He couldn't cut hair for shit. But do you know what? He was one of the funniest, loveliest people. And he was packed from morning till night. And he never had an empty chair.
Amazing.
Right? And people just, they came for him. And he was just funny and personable. And I think, you know, there's so much to take from that now. I think people are so serious about techniques and angles, and like me, Phil and Sam are going to be talking about this, you know, is that, you know, barbering doesn't have to be, we're going to be talking about this at Barber Connects on the...
No spoilers.
On the Monday, sorry.
No
another
spoilers.
Plug. But, you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, making like hair cutting accessible again and taking that intimidation out, because not everybody does buy into like section godding and like fine angles, you know. It's
but equally, you know the client isn't that interested in that. They want the haircut to look great. They expect you to have those skills.
But people also like to feel valued.
Yeah, that's the bit.
And they like to come in and have a great experience. Mm. And we still get it all the time. You know, people come in and it's busy, and I get customers sitting in the chair going, oh, it just feels great. But that's a testament to like the team. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, the customers that we've developed over the years. You know, like the music, you know, and it's the same in your gaff, you know, is that it's the atmosphere that people, you know, they go to, you know, it's how people feel when they walk in through a door. That old thing of, you know, cheers, like where, you know, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
You know, people walk through the door and all you need is a smile. Hey man, how's it going?
Yeah.
That's all people need. But it's amazing how many places, you know, barbershops, you know, not exclusive to just barbershops, but how many places you walk in and it's like, yes.
Mm-hmm. And actually the best experiences we have, irrelevant of, like you say, barbershops, restaurants, whatever, the best experiences are led by great people, right?
Yeah.
And if you've got really good people in there, the rest should follow, right? Yeah. And that's what I was, in my previous world, it was like, if you've got the right team and the right people, everything else will follow. And it's true.
But can you teach that? Or does that have to be, do you lead for that? How does that...
Teach how to be a great like employee or a team member, or
that's great if you as an individual you're naturally with it, but how do you have these people around you to follow suit?
I think likenesses attract, and so I think you know, whoever's asked for a job here, for example, I think, you know, we're kind of they look at us already, so they know us before we know them, obviously, and I think people are going to look there and go, yeah, I'd like to find out more about working in that place, you know. Yeah, so that they're already going to be sort of kind of gravitated towards your business in the first place. It's then up to me, I suppose, as the manager or the business owner to decide, are they going to fit in with the rest of the team? Because that's also the other thing that I have to think about is, you know, how do I see that person fitting in with the dynamic?
Yeah.
And normally it starts off with, I'm like, right, you know, what music do you like? You know, so I don't talk about what your haircutting skills. I'm like, you know, what fires you up? You know, what things are you interested in? Because if they go, well, nothing really, I'm like, well, you're not going to last 2 seconds here. Mm. You know, and then I think then if they do get the job, because haircutting's a given anyway, they're gonna do a good haircut. We're gonna test that out through the trade test. So the haircut almost is secondary. Yeah.
It's like a balanced scorecard, right? When you're, it's like skills, knowledge, experience, behaviours. Those things will go in, and someone might be really high in one thing, and then you work together to improve other things. Yeah. Like, can you teach it? Maybe, but I think it's a collaborative thing over time, right? You know, if you've got great experience, but your skills need work, cool. Well, we'll work on that, you know? But I think it is like a balance, isn't it?
Mm.
And that all that balance is just another part of running the shop well, isn't it? Mm. And, you know, so many different parts go into it, don't they?
It does. I'm going to ask you a question from Mass Macy. Advice for new barbers starting barber school with little or no experience.
How exciting. That's a really fun place to be, right? And I talked about fun in the first part. Enjoy it. Take your time. Don't try and cheat the process.
Don't put yourself under too much pressure.
Right. And enjoy it. Surround yourself with good people. You know, take your time. Learn techniques, learn them well. That's what I've done. I'm, you know, not almost 5 years in. I couldn't just take your time, enjoy it, and
trust the long game.
Yeah,
like the speed will come.
Yeah,
speed will always come. But yeah, get your techniques down. Just and I think for me, like whenever I've had like anyone new come into the shop, and that, you know, sort of and we're in the process of refining them, so always say, don't worry about the speed. You know, just like, you know, take that time. If you haven't got anyone booked in after, you know, if, you know, don't worry about getting them out in half an hour or 40 minutes or whatever that time frame might be. You know, keep them in the chair for an hour, but communicate that with your client and say, look, you know, I'm still in the process of learning. You know, mind if I just take my time on this? And normally 9 times out of 10 people are fine with it.
And remember that the people who are inspiring you and you're looking up to, in the game a long time, right? Mm. And it's really interesting to see people who are so good. And then when you find out their backstory, you go, okay, that's why that person's so good. You know, they've been at it 20 years, 10 years, 15 years. And, you know, take inspiration from that and enjoy the process.
But at one stage, we were in exactly that spot. And I think, you know, again, you know, if you're just starting out in the industry, embrace the industry.
So exciting.
It's more than just learning the haircuts. That's a big part of it.
There's so much resource as well. Like, you know, when I first started out, and obviously like for yourself, was that you were only ever as good as the shop that you were working in. And that was it. Your career was determined by your peers. Mm. Whereas now you've got so much resource.
Yep. Mm.
And, you know, use it as much as you possibly
speak
can.
Speak to people.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and exactly that, as you're saying, you know, Barber Connect's coming up.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity for a newbie to get in there and meet everyone, see everything, try out different clippers, pick up scissors, just to involve yourself.
Go and say hello to people.
Yes. And I think that's it. I think the big thing, if I was going to go back right to the beginning and think about the start point, I would definitely spend more time looking around at the companies I wanted to work for or with. That I'd really look for stores in my area. As you're saying, you guys are 20 minutes apart in your buildings, but intrinsically different companies.
Yeah.
You know, people that are going to work here may not work well at yours and vice versa. Yeah. You've got to go out there and find the company that you go, that's my place, that's my vibe, that's my tribe.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a really big part of it.
I love that. And I don't think every opportunity is a good opportunity, right?
Mm.
Just because it's not, you're presented with it.
Yeah.
You know, remember that interviewing and that process is a two-way thing. Mm. Like, treat yourself as a real commodity and someone who's going to be an asset to a business. And remember, you know, because it's an opportunity doesn't mean it's the best one for you. Take your time.
Yeah. And I think that's
it. If you can take your time, you know.
And if things aren't working, there's lots of opportunities
right.
out there. It's not you. It's not the end of the world. There are plenty of options out there. Yeah, well done. Thank you. If I can draw us back to this client experience, how do you gauge it? No, because you guys have that experience. You're doing it. And I think as an owner, you're at that, you know, you've got that pointy stick in your back most of the time. You know, you are much more conscious that building's got to be paid, window cleaning's got to be paid, wages got to be paid, places got to happen, da da da. All the other bits about having a building you're responsible for. How do you make sure that you and your guys keep that client experience high, or to the, you know, to where you want it to be, so that your clients are leaving feeling like they've had a Teddy Edwards haircut or a Black Maison Blackamoor experience?
Mm. I'll go first now.
Oh, thanks, Dan.
Let me think of an answer. No, I'm joking.
Again, I suppose I'll just speak from the heart, and I think it's the environment that you create.
Mm.
It's the people that you have working within the shop that continue that forward. It's something I feel that I have to be on all the time in terms of like being present enough that the staff know that they've got to stay on their A game. They know that I care, but also I've hired people that care too. So yeah, I just sort of feel that it's such a hard one to... It's I don't feel it's sort of something that we train on a regular basis, but it feels that whenever customers give us feedback, it always seems to be that they're picking up on the fact that it's a great atmosphere and it's a great vibe. But people come into our shop and they just feel welcomed and that they feel valued because they get a good haircut, but we remember their name and we shake their hand and we say thank yous and all these little things that probably we take for granted.
It all adds up, mate, doesn't it?
But it all adds up.
Try not to overcomplicate. You know, for me, it's like start with the end in mind. Like, you know, if you know your community, you know where you are, you know the environment you're trying to create. And then from my previous career, it was all about really nailing down those basics, you know, service, standards, time management, cleanliness, all these, like you were saying, are welcoming, knowing. These are all basic things, right? But they all add up to a really good whole, don't they? It's a great end-to-end product. And I think that's really not overcomplicating it. Do things you do well and grow and build over time. And like you say, constantly watching it, constantly checking in. And I was a customer, I was a barber customer forever, right? And I remember thinking, if I walked in and I looked at a station and it was dirty, just no way, you know? And that to me is a fundamental, right? Clean chair, clean tools, you know, and all those little things. I don't think there's anything like rocket science-y to it, is there? It's just daily discipline around that basic stuff.
Well, we were talking earlier about, you know, inspiration and what inspires you. And it's whenever I go to like a bar or a restaurant and they've absolutely nailed it. And I look at that and I think, right, why are they nailing it? What are they doing that makes them stand out more than the next restaurant down the road?
Yeah.
And I'll always take that and then apply it to what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
And there's inspiration in everything, right?
Yeah.
Irrelevant of the type of, like you say, business, it could be a florist, it could be a restaurant. What are they doing well and how can I replicate? Or maybe I don't want to replicate that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's interesting. I think sometimes it's the bad experiences that make you kind of go, I'd be so upset if that was happening in my building.
Yeah.
You know, without any doubt. I'm obsessive about cleaning. You know, and I think as a customer, sitting watching the guy cleaning his tools as you're leaving would only make you feel better, or arriving knowing those tools are being sprayed down. And I don't know.
We're professionals at the end of the day. And, you know, if you want to adopt the professional mindset, then you have to act like one.
Yep. You're at work and you're
no matter what professional it is, like any leading professional in their field has got good admin. You know, they're going to clean their shit. They're going to look after their section, whether they're a good chef, you know, or like a good mechanic, you know, will always have, you know, a clean and organized workstation. And so, you know, if you want to adopt a professional mindset, then these are like the good habits that you just need to get into.
So if you nail them down, right, and if they're good day in, day out, then you can build other things on top, right? You can build a luxury experience or a different offering or whatever that might be, but it's built on those really strong bricks, right?
Yeah. That's an interesting, I like that. But if you're going to decide, where do you decide? Because I'm sure everyone thinks this is my ambition. This is what it's going to be, a luxury. But maybe that's not their clientele. Do you know what I mean? I think the next thing that always brews in my head is about how you're building that clientele, how you're building that loyalty, why that client is leaving and telling his mate about his haircut and so on, and how word gets round about Teddy Edwards or about Black Lamour, how that goes.
I mean
for me, I'd been working in the shop for 2 years, so I had a really good understanding of the area, and I understood the type of clientele we had and the type of community we were in, and that really helped influence, right? Because as much as it's my personal opinion on what I think will work, you know, it has to be reflective of who's around you, right? And, you know, if you're, whatever your price point is and your service offering is, does it need to change? Maybe not. You know, your supply and demand will tell you, right? And like I said earlier, I was lucky to, you know, already be in there and have a really great business and a great shell. But, you know, it's probably different for you, mate, because you've been doing it.
Well, no, the only difference is that I've just been doing it a bit longer.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are still operating the same way that we operate.
Mm. And that's, isn't it? Because fundamentally, the service offerings are roughly the same, aren't they?
Yeah.
Great haircuts, in a good environment, doing right by people. I think
our only difference is location.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're one place, we're here. Yeah. You know, but we're still aligned because we're very similar people.
Every area has now got more barbershops than it's ever had. And you know, you guys are still as busy. You know, I put a thing on here a little while ago as a new guy was opening up across the road from me, and there's now, where there was just me, there's now about eight of us.
Mm.
And, you know, we've really lent into who we are, and it's made no difference. It's made no impact. Mm-hmm. It's been, you know, if anything, it's kind of given me the kick to kind of go, oh, hang on a second, we've gone back and we've touched up, we've changed, and we've upped our game a bit more to keep that kind of competitive spirit, which sometimes if you're you know, you're on your own, you're busy, it's easy to take your foot off the gas a little bit.
100%.
You guys are the same. You're surrounded by, you know, you came into it already that it was a crowded marketplace, but you found your, I don't know if niche is the right word, but you've certainly found your tribe, you found your following.
I think that was the early success of Teddy's, like when we first opened up, because the barbering boom, especially in Brighton, hadn't quite fully happened yet. So this town was, the barbershops that it did have at the time were that kind of like that old model barbershop, very old school. And so there weren't really any barbershops that had that sort of kind of like vibey personality thing going on. There was like one or two. There was, say, like there was like Blatnamore, myself, but there wasn't really what it now is. But I still look now that, you know, sort of that was, say, like 2013 when we opened. In 2025, I'm now thinking, right, how do I react to all these other barbershops that are opening up? It's like, well, we just need to stay one step ahead of the game and create different offerings. And, you know, our price points have evolved over time just because of everything else goes up. So, you know, we just have to stay with the economy, you know, make sure that our profit margins are still viable. But I really think that it's easy if you don't have that competition to sit back and just think, right, well, you know, the local community.
We're doing it all right. Everything's perfect. Yeah, everyone's happy.
Yeah. But, you know, if you want to stand out from the crowd and you want to be able to show people that you're a little bit different and you're worth giving a go, what is it that you're actually offering? You know, and that might be the decor, or it might be a specific service that you have, or it might be the price point, or it might be all of them.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's having confidence in like your own delivery. So, you know, we set this up and we go, look, this is us, this is who we are, and just come and give it a go. And we know pretty certain that most people that come here, they're gonna love it because the team are fantastic. You know, they're all of an equal ability. So, you know, whether you sit in Ryan's chair, Charlie's chair, Brett's chair, or Gabby's chair here, I know that they're going to get a certain standard of haircut. But, you know, everyone's like exactly got that sort of same kind of vibe and energy about them. Yeah. You know, they're all approachable. You know, they're all great at making people feel comfortable, whether, you know, not everybody likes getting their haircut. You know, and they take that into account. Or whether somebody has some sort of specific special need or whatever, we can cater to that. So yeah, I think it's just understanding, like, and being comfortable in your own skin of what you're delivering. Mm. And I think people, the public do pick up on that.
Well, just listening there, I was thinking, like, you know, if you go into London and you look at an office block that's multi-purpose and not owned by one company,
yeah,
there'll be multiple, you know, businesses in there doing the same job, whether it's insurance or recruitment or banking, and they're all doing the same thing. And actually what leads the success or failure of those businesses is, like you say, what the people are like, what they're doing and how they're offering it. And really that drives it, right? Mm. So
sometimes really, I mean, it's quite hard. It's quite hard to kind of stop and take an honest look at yourself. You know what I mean? It's a really nice place if you can find someone else to blame. No, it is. I mean, let's face fact. It's really nice if it's their fault,
100%.
Not my fault. So to stop and kind of, and I'm saying it because I do this a lot. I think to stop and kind of go, what am I doing wrong? What can I do better?
Yeah.
And certainly with this, where, you know, me and Luke go through this and we're thinking of next things and we're talking about other stuff. Mm. The kind of analysis of it happens a lot to me now. And that then kind of goes back to all the stores and it happens. It's quite hard to do, to stop and look at your shop, to wander around and see what everyone else is doing, to look at what your changing high street has changed into. And if you are standing out, if you do sit right, and if you are the shop you want to be, if you're still proud of your space that you've created, because it, you know, these places are only here because of the person behind it. Teddy Edwards is only here because of you. Mm. Blatnamore is only there because of you. You know, if and the same for everyone else out there. Is it something you've done that you've stopped and look at your business? Do you take those moments to think about what you're doing? Or is it really heartfelt and fluid?
Never switch off. Ever. I never switch off.
Can you? Are you your worst critic, or are you actually a good critic? Do you criticize yourself? You do something positive with the criticism, or are you just quick to beat yourself when you get wrong?
I think I try not to act on impulse.
Right.
I try and look at a thing and go, will I feel the same in a day or two or 3 days? I'm not talking about urgent.
Not that emotive reaction.
Yeah, I think not talking, and that's where maybe being a bit older helps, but that just comes with experience. You know, you can be any age and not have that experience or have it. And I think it's really important to assess and analyze, but not like, not so much that you're causing yourself problems, right? And creating jobs and doubling down and making more work. So I try and run
He's
it by
so much more chill than me.
but also, mate, I find myself worrying about things and going, oh, do I need to fix this now? And then I'm like, no, it can wait till next week, you know? Mm. So I think it's that analyze, and then I like to think about it for a few days, consult widely, speak to people, and then take action from there. But if the question is, are we constantly doing that? I find it as a part of my job.
Yeah.
But I don't find I'm doing it all the time. Ideally, I'm enjoying my day, enjoying work, enjoying the people around me, you know, and I try to do that.
But if faced with an issue or a problem, do you tend to reach out, or will it be internal? Do you try and batter through?
Both.
It depends, yeah. A bit of both, yeah. Whether it's an administrative, like financial problem, or down to like a maintenance issue, like something that's a little bit more, it really just depends. I think sort of with experience, I've become a little bit more confident in my own abilities.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, I don't need to outsource or go and ask. But sometimes even then, I think it definitely pays to even sort of bounce ideas off of the other people and say, look, I've decided I'm going to do this, but I'm still going to check. What do you think of this? You know, and sometimes, you know, people's answers can reaffirm a niggle that you might have.
Yeah. And not everything's urgent, and not everything is urgent and important, right? Mm. And like you say, if it's a maintenance issue and you've got a leak, urgent, right? But some things are just important, can wait. Well, they're super important, they need to be actioned. And I think a bit of, like you said earlier, good admin, good project management, understanding your workflow, maybe planning ahead a bit, really has an impact, right? Mm. And I think that's what I try and go, is this really urgent? No, it can wait. Okay, I'm going to take that pressure off. I'm going to wait a couple of days.
And as a business owner, it's vital to cut yourself some slack every now and again.
You have to.
Because you're under enough pressure and it's easy to kind of disappear underneath it.
Yeah. But getting back to what you were saying earlier, but I think it is down to, you know, I truly, truly care.
Mm.
And what motivates me is that I'm always motivated to be the best all the time, you know, and that's, I don't think that we are the best, but I look to always be the best that we can possibly be. And if that is keeping my eye on the ball of cleanliness and making sure that people's brushes are clean, just down to the final little detail of whatever that might be, it's just making sure everything's like clean and presentable, and just it's all those little things that I think that the public do pick up on. And I think you said it earlier, you know, is that, you know, if you go in somewhere else and you see that it's dirty, you think, well, they're obviously not going to care that much, so why would they care about my haircut? So I think, you know, having that professional mindset again, it helps you stay on the ball.
Yeah. And I guess with ours is all up front. It's all here for it to see.
Yeah.
You know, you've got no Gordon Ramsay out the back swearing about the state of the kitchen. You know, how many restaurants would we really eat in if you did a browse through the kitchen beforehand? Yeah. You kind of go, you know, I'll come back, I'll leave it.
We're all referenced. We've all referenced other industries here, right? Mm. If you know people, which we all do, who do other things, I think it's really a good idea to speak to people who aren't in it and go, how do you manage your operational business? How do you manage your office business? And then they share you an idea, well, this is how I manage Excel, or actually I'm still on pen and paper, or, you know, we've got this going on. And I think there's inspiration in other things. And I think sometimes looking out and going, hey, cool, I'll speak to that person, can be really helpful.
And also that person can sometimes be in your chair.
Right.
Yes, that's it. We've got the best resource sitting in front of us.
Honestly, I've got some incredible clients that I've known for so long that I've developed great relationships with. Yeah. And then at some point I've sort of mentioned something about work and I said, oh, I think this is a good idea. Oh, hang on a minute. You kind of do this in your field.
Yeah.
And then they've ended up giving me some cracking advice for free, you know, or it's like, well, let's not talk about it now. Let's go and have a beer after work, you know. And then, you know, I've had so much great help from customers just by opening up a conversation.
It's so true. I had someone the other day, a friend of mine, his coffee machine was broken. He goes, you're a barber, you must know someone who can fix it. And I was like, yeah, I do actually. Yeah. But what you're saying is true. Yeah. And like, it's that external expertise that's often sitting right in front of you.
Yeah.
How good is that?
Yeah. I mean, I always think a full barber shop is probably the best pub quiz team you're ever going to have.
Because I don't think more you need to Google. All you've got to do is shout the question out and someone will, someone's going to know the answer.
Yeah.
And what a buzz a full shop is. It's so good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is the best. Yeah, love it.
I mean, I think that's the really nice bit. You know, chatting to you two, I think I love that when I spoke to both of you and said who was coming on with you, you both went, "Ah, oh, great."
Yeah.
And you're 20 minutes away. So you are the competition, which is, and that's really nice. That just shows really that we can be really healthy and really positive and be competitive.
But this is what I was saying earlier, is that that never happened before.
Mm.
You know, sort of like in the old barbering days, that just never was a thing. And I think how the industry has changed that this is now a thing, you know, this is just like normal. I think it's fantastic. Yeah.
And you said earlier, I've started my career in barbering in the modern barbering term, and how that feels so like cool and lucky to me. And amazing.
No, incredible. And we're finishing with, we bring part two to an end. Thank you. And it's been really lovely sitting here. And I love the fact that as I'm sitting here and you said that, we all three of us just smiled with the whole kind of the issue of that busy barbershop.
Yeah,
there is nothing better than that feeling of buzzing. I love walking into my stores that when they're busy. I still love the vibe when I walk into our shops. And I felt that exactly same thing when I walked in here today. It's been an absolute joy. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting us film
it. Cheers,
mate. Cheers.
I've been Anthony LeBan and we've been the Noble Barber Podcast. Thank you very much. We'll see you at Barber Connect.
Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode and we'll see you next time.